Second hour of Darren, Donick, and Chase on this Friday morning. Chase has left the building. He's headed to the airport. He's heading to Baltimore. Tonight, him and Jerron Davenport will give you coverage from 6 until 8 o'clock in lieu of the matchup tomorrow night between the Titans and the Ravens, and then they will be a part of the pregame coverage tomorrow from noon until 2 o'clock. By the way, we have pregame coverage tomorrow morning starting at 9 a.m. It's a 7:15 kickoff, p.m. So if you're looking for pregame coverage, this is your station. We say hello and good morning to Jack Youngblood, NFL great, Hall of Famer. He's on the line with us. Jack, how you doing?
We're better than we deserve, brother. That's for sure.
No doubt about it. So what are you up to these days? You were a fantastic player. The two of us certainly admired your career without a doubt. But what are you up to these days?
Well, I've got a farm up in my hometown, and that takes up quite a bit of time. I've got 200 acres up there, and there's always something to do. put it that way.
Well, and I know you've speaking of always something to do. I know you've been a part of helping out with Gridiron Greats and their assistance fund. Tell us more about that.
Well, you know, Mike Ditka has got a huge heart. You know, he was a tough player, and he'd growl at you every now and then. And he was a great coach, I think. And Mike just he shows his heart by what he tries to do for some of the retired players that come into some issues and some problems. One with health, and then the other with in finances. And Mike wants to do what he can for those players. And I've helped him for a number of years, probably 20 now. And it's really heartwarming for me to see a guy with that kind of compassion.
Do you think that players today, Jack, are a little bit more aware, and because there's more communications about some of the things you said about life after football, managing your money, all of the things that people try to get through to these young players early on in their careers, do you think it's being better received today than maybe back when you played, or where do you stand on that?
Well, the knowledge of what's going on with the players today is definitely different. There's no question. And the difference is the fact that, it's simple to me. The economics of the game are so huge for these players today. They don't have any problems. Once, the average player is less than 4 years. And if you make, let's just say you make $1 million a year, you should be able to walk away from the game at some point in time and be able to take care of the your health issues and your financial issues along the way.
No doubt the money is much greater. How do you think you would – I mean, it's not friendly for defensive players. Today's game is skewed for offense. When you watch today's game, what do you think?
I think it's practice.
Yeah.
It looks like a 9-on-7 to me. I mean, when my poor guys let Tampa put 56 on them, I was going, what's going on here? I mean, it was ridiculous. Sometimes they play tough, sometimes they don't, and that's just the nature of the game.
We're talking to Jack Youngblood. He is an NFL Hall of Famer and part of the Gridiron Greats Assistance Fund. And there's an event coming up with the Pork Rind Appreciation Day with Southern Recipe Small Batch. Jack, tell us what that's about, because it goes right along with what you've been saying to help the Gridiron Greats.
Well, Mike teamed up with these guys, and they've got a big heart too, trying to help the retired players, especially pre-93 guys. The health issue creates a financial problem, as we all know, and Mike's been doing that, and we've teamed up with Southern Recipe. And pork rinds and pig skins, they should go together, shouldn't they?
Oh, absolutely.
I mean, and these guys at Southern Recipe have come up with like 20 different recipes for these things, and they're really, I didn't realize this, but they're a healthy food source. There's no question about it. I mean, the keto thing and all of that stuff, and blood pressure. It's really a good thing to, you know, that these guys have teamed up and trying to help Mike, you know, get some results for some of these retired players.
So Pork Rind Appreciation Day coming up. You can get more information by going to porkrinds.com. You can also go to southernrecipesmallbatch.com. Check out those websites and find out how you can help out. Jack, one of the memories I have of you, and I'm sure you've told this story a bunch of times, but the 1979 Rams, the Rams that you played on were so good year in and year out, burst through and got to the Super Bowl one time. You guys were 9-7. We're sitting here in Nashville, Tennessee. The Titans are 9-7, trying to pull a big upset against the Ravens tomorrow night. But that was such a great run that you guys had. You beat the Cowboys and Roger Staubach and then had the lead against one of the great teams of all time in the Steelers in the Super Bowl. That was a pretty special team.
It really was. And we felt as though, even though we were 9-7, we firmly believed in what Malavasi was doing, how he was coaching us, and we felt we could play with Bradshaw and all the boys there in Pittsburgh, even though they did have they had three rings by then. I think we gave them the fourth one. I mean, which I didn't like very well. But we were in the hunt constantly for like 8 years in a row, and it was a great run. It really was.
So you guys, I remember, because Pat Hayden had been hurt, you had Vince Ferragamo come on. You guys were a pretty sizable underdog, but it sounds to me like you guys didn't think you were that big of an underdog because you guys had been around the block several times.
Oh, absolutely. No, there wasn't any doubt. We felt that we could play with them. We could you know, stop them on defense. And Vinny had an arm on him. He might not have understood what the play was all the time, but he could definitely chunk the football.
Well, I want to ask you about one other thing, and Darren, you and I are about the same age. We were kids growing up, but one legendary story we always used to hear about you, Jack, was playing with a broken leg. So you got to tell that story. I know you've probably told it thousands of times, but tell us.
If I had a quarter for every time I told this story, we'd all be rich.
Yeah.
I broke this thing in the divisional playoff against Dallas. I got my foot caught in that carpet and got bumped over, and it snapped the fibula. And I'm rolling around on the field and like a turtle. And my trainer came out on it. He said, "What are you doing?" I said, "Get me up and get me off this grass, off this carpet." And we went into the locker room, and it was right before halftime. And I go in and we take an X-ray. I'm looking at the X-ray. I'm looking at the picture, and I said, "Doc, Clarence Shields was one of our orthopedic surgeons," and I said, "Clarence, tape it up." I said, we've got 30 more minutes. He said, "I don't know how to do that, Jack. I can't do that." I said, "Clarence, tape it up, damn it." He said, I don't know how to do that." I said, "What? You're an orthopedic surgeon. You don't know how to tape an ankle?" and he's laughed. We laugh about that every time we get together, and good guys. We had three of the best doctors that could ever been on a football team, and I appreciate the fact that they kept me on the field for, 14 years. So I got a lot of appreciation to give there.
Last thing, Jack, who's somebody on the defensive side of the ball that you watch today and why?
What's the big boy's name, the defensive end who I think he got hurt earlier this year.
J.J. Watt?
J.J.
In Houston?
I like how he plays.
Okay.
I notice a lot, and I don't want to sound derogatory, but I see a lot of guys kind of taking off a step or two during when they're playing, on top of the fact that they don't play every snap. They tap their hat and go to the sideline. If I'd have tapped my hat and said I'm tired, Merlin would have killed me. Merlin wouldn't let me do that. But I like the way JJ plays.
Good stuff, Jack. Really appreciate the visit. Thanks so much for doing this.
Thank you, guys.
Yeah, and we'll get the word out. Okay, thank you. Keep up the good work.
Appreciate it. Thank you.
He is associated, as you heard, with Mike Ditka, Gridiron Greats Assistance Fund, trying to help those guys who played in the game and need assistance. They got a lot of health injuries. We've talked about this over the years. Really seeing some of the greats come through here in the press box at Nissan Stadium and watching them try to walk out of there. Sometimes it's hard to watch. I mean, if anybody's come into contact with Earl Campbell, I mean, I remember Dan Dierdorf. I mean, guys, it was just painful.
It's visible.
Right?
It's
visible. It was painful just to watch them try to walk out of the stadium.
So it's an important thing. It's interesting. We were in Chicago. Pete Weber and I and Bob Cole from our staff went to Mike Ditka's restaurant. You always hope that you see Coach Ditka just happens to be in there. He wasn't in there that night, but there's so much history in that restaurant. It makes you think about those players, and so it's a great thing that they're trying to do, help as many people as they can who we've enjoyed watching over the years. Right, we've gotten so much pleasure. We're thinking about all these memories of Jack Youngblood and that Super Bowl back then, and those great Rams teams. So if you take pleasure out of that, you want to try to think that those guys have some help for those that need it, who put their body on the line every Sunday.
That restaurant is great just to walk around and look at
awesome.
The things
it's
hanging
awesome.
On the
you
wall.
Spend a lot of time.
I know. It's like a museum. Just walking around looking at the things
on the
wall.
The meal is great, but the other part of it is just you can spend an hour walking around there.
No doubt about it. And that Rams-Steelers Super Bowl, that was the iconic swan catch down the sidelines, right, that we've all seen?
Well, one of a few he had. He had a couple against the Cowboys, and they were in four Super Bowls. They won them all. Yeah. So he was the MVP in one of them against the Cowboys, but John Stallworth had a couple of big ones.
Stallworth had a big one, too.
In
that one. You're right.
They hit a couple of bombs in the fourth quarter that erased what could have been a giant upset by the Rams.
They won, what, 31-19?
Yes. Good call, Darren. Memories.
All right. We will come back at the bottom of the hour. Qadri Ismail will come back. More of Darren, Donick, and Chase next. You just made the list coming up at high noon. We've had a fantastic week. Our guest list has been incredible. I need to thank Chase McCabe for a big part of that. As he's on his way to the airport. Well, actually, he's probably at the airport. He's going to be going to Baltimore. We're going to have some great coverage all throughout today, tonight, and all day tomorrow leading up to 7:15 kickoff. Remember, the Predators don't play tomorrow, which is strange. It's a rare Saturday off, and they'll be playing a Sunday matinee game. Puck drop at 1 o'clock in Winnipeg. I'll have pregame for you at noon, but that's on Sunday. So Saturday, we're just going to give you about 10 hours of pregame coverage of Titans-Ravens, and then I'll be curious to see, just like everybody else, how this all plays out. I did say this yesterday, and I know you weren't with us. We checked in with you late in the show, but remember this is what I know, going into Wild Card weekend, I said two road teams are going to win, probably three. So I hit that one, and I said, I know it's Thursday, and we're not doing This Is What I Know, but all the conversations we've had all week, I feel like a couple of these games are going to get lopsided this weekend. A couple of games are going to get away. I'm not sure what those games are. I think there's going to be, like, I thought Wild Card Weekend was great. A great weekend. The divisional rounds, I feel like two of them, half of them, I think somebody's going to run away. A couple teams are going to run away with victories. I don't know how you feel,
but typically that happens in
divisional rounds.
I was going to say, it's not uncommon for the divisional round. But I still think that the Titans are a hotter team than many six seeds who come in at 9-7, who kind of – and I would compare it to the Titans 2 years ago. I thought that was a team that did well to get into the playoffs, A, and then win a game in the playoffs. I thought that was about as far as you could think. And then, you know, they turned into a pumpkin.
Yeah, they got waxed in New England.
I feel like this team has got a better shot, even though they're playing arguably a better team. Now, the Patriots were pretty darn good.
I don't know.
A couple years ago.
They lost
in the Super Bowl.
Lost to Philly in the Super Bowl.
But that was a championship-level team.
Now, that would be a good question. I wonder if the – right now, how would we answer that? Ravens today or that Patriots team 2 years ago?
I'd have to go back and look. But, man, I'll tell you, this Ravens team has been so efficient. But I just think the Titans bring some things to the table here that can give them a chance. I'm looking at our man Jimmy Shapiro. Ravens are a 10-point favorite. The line opened up at 9.5. It's gone to 10. But according to the Jimmy Shapiro people, I guess it's betonline.ag.
Yep.
50% of the people are betting on each team. So 50% of the money is the Titans. Now, that's with 10, right?
Right.
But that at least gives you a sense that people believe they can hang around in the game, right? I have a hard time seeing them get completely overmatched unless they just flat out cannot stop the Ravens. It's going to be hard to match score for score because I feel like there's that capability, that explosiveness in the Ravens offense. But the Titans offense has been as good as any offense. It's been right there with anybody's in football, including the Ravens, in the second half of the season. So can they, if they can just stay clean and keep doing those things, now it's hard to do it against the Ravens defense. That's probably the thing. Can the Titans defense play as good a game as the Ravens defense? The Ravens have a pretty good defense. It's ranked high. It's ranked, you know.
Oh, it's a really good defense.
It's a really good defense. That's how you go 14-2. You're good on both sides of the ball. The Titans have had a good defense, maybe not a great defense, but can they play a great game?
And Ryan Tannehill is going to have to do more. I don't think there's any doubt about that. And I'm not saying, well, he's got to throw more than 72 yards and attempt more than 15 passes. I think that's a given in a game like this, right? There's no doubt that's going to happen. But the question is, Derrick Henry had, what, 35 touches in New England? How many touches is he going to get this game?
As many as necessary.
Well, if you were saying as many as necessary, you would say, well, then 35 is probably necessary.
Well, but not if they fall behind 14-0, which is a recipe for disaster, yeah. Right? You want to stay close enough to where you could give it to them that many times. But at the same time, if the Ravens are overloading and you have to throw it more, you're forced to throw it more, you need to be able to do that. That has been what Tannehill has done best. Take what the defense has given him.
I have to believe New England's game plan worked. Their game plan was to take the passing game out, take out A.J. Brown, and that worked. A.J. Brown had a catch. Ryan Tannehill, as we just said, had 72 yards passing. The passing game meant nothing. Right? He completed, what, 8 passes? Just think about that. He completed 8 passes and they won in Foxborough. I think Baltimore, but obviously the other thing is, you know, Derrick Henry ran wild and ran all over them. He did something
and it was
no
a field
team
position game
has ever done against a Bill Belichick team, ever in the playoffs.
And they were playing with the lead, and it ended up being kind of a field position game where that was the play. Keep that clock running. Keep the ball out of Tom Brady's hands. You had a sense that the Titans' defense was getting a good feel for the Patriots' offense as the game wore on, and as long as you made them drive the field, you were in good shape. It's not like they weren't trying to score, but you know they moved the ball even though they weren't passing it, they were still moving it. They just didn't turn it into points in the second half. They certainly did in the first half to get that huge touchdown at the end of the first half. But this could be a totally different type of game. What's been happening more is the Titans have been getting into some high-scoring games. You know, could they beat the Ravens 31-27? Could they? I don't know. I can – if they're clicking, they scored a ton of points against the Chiefs and the Saints, as Chase pointed out, even resting those guys. Are they capable of that? I guess we'll find out. The Ravens do have, according to Football Outsiders, the fourth-best defense. So they have the number one offense, even better than KC's, which is very explosive, fourth-rated defense. Brian Billick made a good point. They don't stop the run very well on the edges. That appears to be where you can run on them. I'll be looking for that. He said it's hard to run inside against the Ravens. They stack the middle well. Where you can get him is on the edges. Derrick Henry can hit the edges.
He's very good.
He can hit the edges.
Very good with that. But I think Baltimore is going to put a much heavier emphasis on trying. And that's another thing. I mean, they're having this conversation in Baltimore, right? We're having the conversation, can the Titans slow down Baltimore? The Ravens are having the conversation, can they slow down Derrick Henry? Because right now he looks unstoppable.
Nobody has stopped him in a long time. Nobody.
No. I guess.
Unless he didn't play. And that was the... Before that, he was running on one leg for a while. He was running with a hamstring injury. That's unheard of. And yeah. Still, like the game where he was playing with a truly hurt hamstring was the game against the Texans that they lost. And he still had 86 yards. You know, on 21 carries, it's more than 4 yards a carry. But he was hurting in that game. So the move of the year was to rest him and then bring him back. Because now he's full throttle. But if you look at his production, I don't think they can stop him. The question is, how do they go about it? Do they go about it like the Patriots and say, he's going to get his yards, but we'll take away the passing yards? Or do they try to stack him up and say, we're going to try to keep him under 100, and we have the personnel to still contain A.J. Brown and company? Because when Tannehill was throwing against the Patriots, there weren't a lot of wide open guys, right? There was a lot of times he was throwing, he was trying to put it into a tight window. They had guys back there. They didn't. A lot of times when the Titans offense has been clicking, the play action has had some one-on-ones or some guys running free in the crossing routes. That wasn't there against the Patriots. The running game certainly was.
We'll come back. We'll head to Baltimore. We'll talk to Qadri Ismail, who used to play for the Ravens, former wide receiver. He is a part of the Purple pre- and post-game. We'll talk to him on the other side. ESPN, 102.5, The Game. Same time, not the same place this Saturday. 7:15, our time kickoff. This week, instead, it'll be in Baltimore on Saturday night against those Ravens. Qadri Ismail, we've always enjoyed our conversations over the years with him, former Ravens receiver, now with Purple pre- and post-game. Qadri, how you doing?
I am doing excellent. Can't wait to get it going on Saturday evening so I can have the proverbial flashback to the days of yesteryear, where it was the Tennessee Titans, the juggernauts versus the other juggernauts of the AFC Central, and how we would battle it out. Yes, I'm ready.
But this one's going to have a different feel, though, isn't it? You guys operated in a different manner, both teams, back in the day.
Well, you're right. It was about a historic defense for the Ravens, and it was about a team that I think, similar to the Ravens of this year, where, you know, they had a just roster full of Pro Bowlers and All-Pro players and offense that was just as magnificent. I think ultimately, you know, they made for some great battles. And I think this is going to be one of those things where, you know, can this offense for the Ravens continue to do what it does? And I think at the same time, you're looking at a defense that might not be as historic as the Ravens, but I can see the flip side of it as well.
Have you ever envisioned yourself this season wondering what you would look like in this offense back in the day?
So here's the one thing when people ask us, I guess as my son would say, I'm an old head. So at the same time, back in my day, you go across the middle, and you knew very well that you were going to catch a pass, a linebacker or a safety could lunge up at you and leave their feet and kind of knock your head off. Obviously, with the league rule changes, it's just so much more receiver offensive friendly. And that being said, I think, you know, when you look at Lamar Jackson and the way he runs his offense, Greg Roman, you know, while they are a run-first team, they are nowhere near afraid to sling the ball around. I think he would have been a 4,000-plus yard passer, and you're talking about him not playing a full game against the Steelers, and he was, I believe, they sat him in four other contests. So, you know, potentially, what, 5-6 quarters worth of play that you can't look at the stats and say, you know, this offense is just a conservative offense. So with that said, to answer your question, heck yeah, I'd be loving to play in this offense, and I think you would be able to thrive and make some big plays.
Qadri Ismail on the line with us. I know you were an offensive guy, but you were part of standing on the sidelines and watching the Titans and the Ravens battle twice a year in the same division. You saw Eddie George up close and personal. When you think of Eddie George back in the day and now you watch Derrick Henry on film, what do you see?
So, you know, I think with Eddie, he definitely was as probably not as big, you know, in a certain size-wise, like wide, as Derrick Henry. They have somewhat similar in that upright style. Eddie, I think, was probably a touch more elusive, but you know, what the heck, Derrick Henry is a man amongst men, and he is an extremely difficult guy to bring down. He's a, you know, he looks like a taller version of Earl Campbell. I mean, that's kind of what I see when I see him. You're just not going to go ahead and get a clean shot. Although I guess in the Patriots game, when he was getting ready to get into the end zone, he kind of let up a little bit, and the one safety kind of got him up in his shoulders and looked like, oh, wow, you got a big shot on him. But, you know, I'm sure he kind of, you know, brushed that off and kind of had a little smirk as, you know, you knew you were going to win the game. With that said, I think the key to being able to nullify what he does is not allowing him to just get ahead of steam and get into the second level. And that's going to be the big challenge for this Ravens ball club, because I'm sure the Titans staff is going to look at the game against the Cleveland Browns earlier in the year. They're going to look at the game against the 49ers late in the year. And both games, you just saw the running game just gash this Ravens ball club on the outside. And there was no edge set, and guys were able to bounce it outside. Guys were able to, you know, get to that second level and make just huge chunk yard runs. And if you do that with Derrick Henry, you know, as the game gets going, I think he gets better.
On the Baltimore side of things, we know how effective they've been running the game. It's not just one guy, more like on the Titan side of things. It's a stable of guys, including the quarterback. We know Mark Ingram has been dealing with a calf injury. I guess he practiced for the first time yesterday. I anticipate he's going, but at what percent? If he's not effective because that calf is bothering him, how much or does that affect the Baltimore offense, in your opinion?
Yeah, I mean, it's going to affect it because, you know, he's the starter for a reason. You know, just every time I've seen him play, I think it reminds me of Ray Rice when the Ravens went to the Super Bowl in 2012 and won it. Ray was so effective out of the backfield. And, you know, that's where I think for Mark Ingram, his ability to catch the ball out of the backfield, make guys miss. He's a very valuable runner in the red zone when it comes to the passing attack. That, I think, is where you would miss the most for a Mark Ingram. Clearly, his experience as far as pass protection is there as well. When you look at the offense from a running game standpoint, Justice Hill and, you know, Gus Edwards, they both are just in their own right, just dudes that can make you pay if you slipping up. The offensive line will make you slip up because of it's not just one blocking scheme. You know, there's power, there's zone, there's inside zone. There's just a plethora of movements that it makes it difficult for defense just to key in on.
Qadri Ismail, is with us talking Ravens-Titans. He's very familiar with the rivalry, and he's very up on this Ravens team. And so, Kadri, just in a general sense, in all your years, have you seen anything quite like the Ravens offense just putting it all together? As you said, it's not gimmicky. It has layers to it, and really nobody has stopped it in months.
It's a historic-looking offense. First, what is it? First time that they have averaged over 200 yards rushing, 200 yards passing. First team in history, got to go back to 1978, that they rushed for, what was it, 3,000-plus yards? I mean, just ridiculous as far as just the amount of stats that they've put up. They don't really turn the ball over. They're very effective in the red zone. You know, I think Justin Tucker and Sam Cook, you know, both just amazing special teams players in their own right. I think they get bored at some points in games because they're like, well, I guess we're not going to punt the ball, or, well, I guess we're going to go for it on fourth down again and not have to kick the field goal, because in years past, that's what we've seen from this Ravens team. They're aggressive. They're confident. They hold one another accountable. You have a selfless group of tight ends that block the heck out of the ball. They have a selfless group of receivers that, you know, will also block, but yet at the same time make plays when called upon. This is where, you know, Mark Ingram talks about big trust, and that's kind of been their theme throughout the year. Big trust, that right there is what makes this team such a special and unique team that, you as coaches, you hope you catch that lightning in a bottle and you can ride the wave of it. And I think for John Harbaugh, he's looking at it, and obviously the number one seed, there's still tons of work to do. You still got to play the game. Tennessee is probably relishing in the fact that they're underdogs. I'm sure, you know, Vrabel is going to be sitting there and, you know, pulling something out of his hat as far as what he sees from Dean Pease, former defensive coordinator for the Ravens as well. So there's things there that I'm sure they're going to look at and say, hey, here's some things that we're going to do to hang our hat on to stop or slow down this Ravens offense.
Kadri, you just said what one of the things that I think is important, the red zone. And both of these offenses have been extremely effective at cashing in touchdowns. I think there's got to be a realistic approach from the Titans. I would think anybody who's playing the Ravens from here forward, and that is, they're going to move the ball. Nobody has prevented them. But is there any way to stop them in the red zone? That to me, is a key question.
You know, when I was looking at the Titans-Patriots matchup, to be quite honest with you, 14 points is not going to be enough. You know, they, right before 2 minutes, obviously Derrick Henry, right down the field, score, touchdown. But, you know, I think what the Titans defense did to the Patriots when they got into the red zone and forced them to field goals, I mean, that was remarkable. But honestly, like, what I've seen from the Ravens, you know, like Ravens-Steelers matchup or the Ravens 49ers matchup, you just saw offense that, even if you kind of figure it out somewhat, next thing you know, you just see this run, this pass, something that, you know, it stifles the defense. And next thing you know, momentum is clearly back in the Ravens' favor. And that's where, you know, they just start racking up points. And that's where I'm saying, you know, for the Titans, you know, they, whether it be a turnover and cashing in on it, whether it be, yeah, get into the red zone, but keep scoring, you know, I think they're going to have to recognize 14 is just not going to be enough.
What are they calling for weather-wise? How's it going to be there?
Yeah, so it was supposed to be early in the week. It was like, oh, my God, it's going to be bad. It's going to be raining. But now I just got another update, and they're like, it's going to be around 55. Temperatures are going to drop a little bit, not much wind, and it's going to be you know, somewhat pleasant for good division game of football, and I'm looking forward to it. I will say this, that back in 2000, we went out there in Adelphia Coliseum, as it was called back then, and I say this every time I get on a Tennessee station, that mother of pearl, the arguably loudest crowd fan base ever in the history of all the NFL. It can rival any team anywhere, but it's not a home game for them. So hallelujah, thank the Lord.
By the way, 55, a Saturday night in January in Baltimore, that's like, you know,
it's about all you can ask
for. Lauderdale weather. Yeah. I mean, my goodness.
Yeah, they might get a little pregame when the sun is still kind of going down. Might get a little bronzing on the neck, right between the shoulder pads and the helmet.
Kadri, always good to talk to you. Thanks for doing this. Enjoy the game on Saturday night. Should be fun. And I guess we're all curious what we'll be talking about on Monday.
Yes, appreciate you having me on. And woohoo, go Ravens.
All right, that's Kadri Ismail. Purple, and he's with WJZ-TV, Purple pre- and post-game up there in Baltimore.
He is always entertaining. We have him on, didn't he? He's got a little flair.
Well, he's always told us that back when they used to come here, that was the loudest stadium in the league.
Those were the days.
People that have moved here in the last 5 years, they're like, I don't understand.
Like, what? Huh?
Really? Yeah, that's true. And that's – Kadri's not the only one that has ever said that. We've heard countless players – former players come in and tell us that then Adelphia Coliseum was the toughest place to play in the league. Maybe it'll get close. You know, maybe it'll get back to that someday. I said yesterday that
this game could go a long way.
Well,
right?
There's no question. This game could go a long ways, and how they follow up this season can go a long ways, right? It's about the follow-up,
sure.
too. Well, the Predators followed up their run to the Stanley Cup Final with being the best team in the regular season. They didn't fall on their face, right, and have Stanley Cup, you know, hangover or whatever, and they have an average or below average season. That affected the momentum. Instead, they went out and they were the best team over 82 games the following season. The Titans, you know, if they can come back and win a division or host a playoff game, the fan base will just continue to mount and people will just keep coming back. They're already coming back, but they have to keep this going.
And they'll have some major decisions to make with their – salary cap and contracts, and they'll cross that bridge. We'll have plenty to discuss whenever the season ends, but this game is very intriguing. When we come back, Darren, there's some things that Kadri pointed out that I think are worth mentioning here in terms of, you know, what has to go right for the Titans to go into the fourth quarter, go deep into the fourth quarter with a chance to win.
We will do that to close up shop in the second hour. On the other side, ESPN 102.5 The Game. You just made the list. Coming up at high noon, a pair of tickets to see Motley Crue, Def Leppard, Poison, and Joan Jett and the Blackhearts at Nissan Stadium on June 29th. Hello! Better bring it. If you don't bring it, we're not giving them away. I don't care what promotion says. We'll just stash them. We'll keep them.
Just pocket it.
You have to earn them. You're going to have to earn these. We're just not going to just give them because you called in. Fair?
Challenge delivered.
By the way, same prize for pick six. I know people will bring it for pick six. They've done it all year.
Oh, there's no doubt. There's no doubt.
By the way, my lead's starting to pad a little bit. Oh, we didn't. Did we get? Are you going to be able to review? Did you get the stuff from Chase?
I have everything in a spreadsheet from last week.
See, I missed last Friday.
You've got the updated stuff?
I'll text Chase just to double confirm.
Points
that way my
standings?
Numbers aren't off a little bit. My math might be off, so I'll double confirm.
I believe the math is off. I should be leading.
With no proof. You've got zero proof. Well, just a gut feeling. I feel like I'm in the lead. Really? Based on what? I feel that way.
I missed last
strategy.
Friday, but I feel like I'm doing well.
Yeah, well, you're not. That's the thing.
I think I'm doing well.
We've actually been recording this stuff every week. It's crazy. Unlike by the way, you got destroyed yesterday in Silly Underdogs. I mean, just you are a carcass laying on the side of the road. When Kelly Holcomb, myself, and Chase, and all of us got done with you.
Just carved up like a
You got
Thanksgiving
carved
turkey.
Up like a on the movie Christmas Vacation, man. You just.
Goodness.
Well, so what was your question regarding this game?
All right, well, Kadri pointed out. And Brian Billick said the same exact thing. You can run the ball on the Ravens, especially on the edges. He said, look at the tape of the 49ers. Look at the tape of the Browns, of all people. I mean, figure that one out. But teams have had success running the ball against the Ravens. The other thing you can do against the Ravens, statistically, is play action pass. Now think about how that lines up for the strengths of Titans offense. They have been money in the play action pass. So that is going to be the key to the Titans. Can they do what they have been doing to almost everybody? Run it with Derrick Henry, play action off of that. What you can't get into against the Ravens is third and long, because that is now you're playing into the strength of the Ravens defense, which is rushing the passer, and the weakness of the Titans offense, which is pass protection and obvious passing downs, right? Tannehill will hold the ball, right? Last year what happened, the biggest nightmare of the year last year, and I realized different offensive coordinator, Marcus Mariota was the quarterback, but remember the Ravens sacked Marcus Mariota 11 times. This year, the offensive line has improved a ton since the start of the year, but they still, I don't know if I like them in a full-on pass protection, third and eight, third and 10. They've got to stay out of those as much as possible, or else that's where you're asking for trouble. That's where you could have the turnovers that you don't need in this game, the ineffectiveness in offense. So to me, it's all about, can you run your bread and butter and attack the weaknesses of the Ravens? Run it with Derrick Henry, get action on that play action, and score. Then it all becomes about the red zone. How about, because here is the comparison of the kickers, Darren. Titans have Greg Joseph. He's been there for 3 weeks. He has not attempted a field goal.
It's amazing.
Now, does that mean he can't make a field goal? No. But it is an unknown, right? It is going to be a weird vibe if and when he goes out there and attempts a field goal. Now, if it's 30 yards, that's one thing. And that would be great if they attempted a short one just so he could get him acclimated.
But 46 yards?
46-yarder, which is maybe the kind of deal you have to hit. Or let's say, what is Gary Anderson's game
44?
Winner? Was that 44? Let's just say for that, for memory's sake, 44. Can he hit that? Because on the other side, you have the best kicker in the game.
Yeah. Justin Tucker's fantastic.
Most of his kicks go over the uprights. Like, they're higher than the highest point of the uprights. Right? He's money. He's clutch. He is the best kicker in football now. So that's a matchup that you don't like. So there's a lot that's got to go right here. I feel good about the way the Titans are playing, but there's just so much. The Ravens just keep coming at you with all these stats and these things that are historic almost, right? Justin Tucker, as great as Vinatieri has been, the clutch, Tucker is incredible. He is one of the best of his era, without a doubt. And then you have an offense that has been doing things that nobody does, right? You heard Kadri lay it out there. Like, he was going back to 1978 and, like, first offense to do this and first offense to do that. It's incredible.
I don't have the numbers in front of me. What was better, the Rams offense last year or the Ravens offense this year?
The Rams offense last year?
Right, wasn't it last year?
Barely scored in the Super Bowl?
Right, but they were...
I mean, they did rev it up a lot during the regular season. No question.
I'd understand that the Patriots shut them down, but for the whole season, weren't they... They were incredible. I mean, they were incredible,
but I think that this Ravens offense during the regular season,
when Gurley was healthy, when Gurley was effective, they were carving up everybody.
They were very good, no question. We need to go through the round by round, right, of this season, week to week. It is amazing to look at the Ravens, just how they dismantled teams.
I told you they started off their season by scoring 59 points. That's how they started the season. 59 in an NFL game. That was already the, and then I think there were five other games, not counting the 59-point game, where they scored 40 or more. Like I said, this is the NFL. These are not college games. Why? Wherever the
my
Wi-Fi.
Computer is
no.
What,
it's
what
not
is
yours.
Going on?
It's Wi-Fi.
Oh, here we go. Schedule and results. 59-10, 23-17 over Arizona. This is before they really got it going, because then they lost two in a row, the Chiefs and the Browns. Lost 33-28, lost 40-25. Beat the Steelers in OT. But then how about this on the back side of the season? Starting with their, after their bye week, they come back and they crush the undefeated Patriots at the time, 37-20. Then they go, they score 49, 41, 45. Then the game in the rainstorm against the 49ers, which was a great game.
Mm-hmm.
And Tucker kicks the game-winning field goal on the last play. That was a really good game against a very good 49ers team, 20-17. Then that Bills defense held them to 24. That was up in Buffalo. I don't know what the weather conditions were for that. Buffalo actually hung in there, held them to 24-17. 42 on the Jets, 31 against the Browns, and then with all their starters rested, they still get 28 and easily beat the Steelers.
Mm-hmm.
With Lamar Jackson didn't even play, right?
No, he played, I think, the first series.
First series.
Yep, that was it.
So think about Lamar Jackson's numbers. 36 touchdown passes, 6 interceptions, 1,200 rushing yards, and didn't play the last game. It's like Derrick Henry. You look at that, 1,500 yards,
scary
rushing title, and didn't play one game. So I know Russell Wilson and Aaron Rodgers are still in the tournament. There's some other great players out there, but the two best weapons in football right now, I think, are Lamar Jackson and Derrick Henry. Would you agree? It's hard to not put Rodgers and Wilson up there. They've been doing it for so long. But I might argue that Henry and Jackson are the two hottest right now. Two biggest dangerous weapons right
it's
now.
Probably
unstoppable.
I'd say it's pretty hard to argue that.
And Henry's going to have another game like that, right? For any scenario where the Titans win, he's going to have to do this again. Same kind of deal. Dominate.
Yep. We'll come back. You just made the list to kick off the third hour of the program. First, I want to talk to you about the good folks at USS, United Structural Systems. It's a foundation repair and waterproofing company that has served our area right here in Middle Tennessee since 1994. They've got more than 18,000 satisfied residential customers. Yeah, 18,000 homeowners that have come away dealing with USS and feeling very good. So if you've got bricks that are cracking at your home, you've noticed that, walls bowing, doors or windows that are sticking, drywall separating, maybe your chimneys have been tilting or leaning, this is just some of the signs. There are other things out there that maybe your house is trying to tell you something. They're the experts. Call them. Let them come out and tell you something's going on, or, you know what, don't worry about it, because that could be the case too. They believe in quality. They believe in their reputation. They also have integrity. Those are all things important to them. And like I said, they've got the expertise. And they're going to give you a free estimate on what's going on. They're locally owned, licensed and insured. And if you're a homeowner, these are all things that should grab your attention. But if you do have something like this going on, don't ignore it. Just call them. Have them come out. Take a look. Let them put you at ease. Or tell you, hey, you do have a problem here. We'd like to help. 615-227-2275. That's 227-2275. Or you can always go to their website, USSTN.com. That's USSTN.com. As they